I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. No better, no worse. That's the word today from Japanese officials and international observers as the crisis at the Fukushima nuclear power plant enters its second week. Military fire trucks continue to spray seawater and try to cool the overheated fuel rods at the plant as engineers struggle to restore power and cooling systems that could help bring the reactors under control. Japan's government now says that it may have been slow to respond to the quake and tsunami that hit 1 week ago today. Along with this nuclear crisis, Japan has a humanitarian emergency on its hands. An estimated 17,000 people are dead or missing. Another 500,000 are homeless. As the world's Mary Kay Magstead reports, getting relief aid to them is a logistical nightmare.
Today, all around Japan, at exactly 2:46 p.m., people paused, bowed their heads, and observed a moment of silence for the dead. But the living, the survivors, have needs too, still only partially being met. It's not for lack of trying. Here, a worker at the National Confederation of Trade Unions office in Tokyo puts relief supplies in boxes to take up to the earthquake and tsunami-stricken northeast. But the Confederation's Secretary General, Odagawa Yoshikazu, says it's been hard to get supplies up there.
The obstacle is that the road is closed and public transportation is not running as usual, and there is a shortage of gasoline so that we cannot drive up there.
As a result, food and water are in short supply, and anyone going up has to bring their own. For that reason, Odagawa says, the government is restricting which volunteers and aid agencies can go up to help. Dr. Momoro Fujisue, the president of the Japan Federation of Democratic Medical Institutions, says that's meant that many quake and tsunami survivors have been living on very little. He says, early this week in Sendai, one of the worst-hit towns, the food ration for the day was a banana and half an orange. By Wednesday, rice packs had arrived, one for two people to share, about 150 calories each. Drinking water, too, is being rationed. He says in one place where his organization has doctors, people were getting one cup of water a day. Not surprising, then, he says, that there have been health problems. People are living in freezing temperatures with no heat and not always enough blankets, with sanitation sometimes consisting of relieving oneself in a plastic bag and dumping it a discreet distance away. Fujisue says kids are getting sick. Several older people have had to be treated for dehydration. He says some people, who already had health problems like high blood pressure and diabetes, are running low on medicine. The relief needs are vast, and information about who needs what where still patchy and not helped by the lack of electricity and phone connections. So, freelance journalist Chie Matsumoto decided after her own three-day visit to the affected areas this week to start an information clearinghouse on which shelters need what kind of aid.
I thought it would be useful for others to get as much information as possible so that they can think of how to get there to provide supplies and relief goods.
She's asked other journalists to tell her what they see in the areas they visit, and she posts the information on her Twitter account. Already, she says, several agencies have contacted her and told her this has helped.
Everyone is thinking about the needs up there, but they all say the only problem, of course, if they had the means, they would go, but it's the gasoline issue. And at the same time, they're receiving information from the government, but some of them said that they're refused. They were told not to go yet because there is no system to accept all the relief goods.
Some of these issues may be resolved soon. The Japanese government yesterday called on energy companies in western Japan to send gas and light oil to the earthquake and tsunami-affected areas, and drums of heating oil, too, to take the edge off the frosty nights. With more gasoline, more food, water, and other supplies can get through. Enough, perhaps, to give survivors the energy to start to think about rebuilding their homes, their towns, and their lives. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Tokyo.